take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 15. My life verses when kids or anybody has me sign their Bible. And this is also Brother Bob Ross's life verse, 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. They have been my life verse all of my Christian life since got old enough or smart enough to realize I needed one to hang my hat on, and this is it. But we're going to talk about Thanksgiving tonight. Let's stand. I'll read, beginning 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be able to preach tonight. I pray for the pastor that you would just give him complete physical healing, get rid of the cancer, help him through the chemo treatment tomorrow, and restore his strength very quickly. And Lord, as we look forward to Thanksgiving this year and the testimonies we're going to hear on Wednesday night, we want to praise you and thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We who are saved must always be ready to give thanks unto God for everything. Not only the good, but the bad, or the mediocre, or that which we didn't expect or didn't want. My God has never made a mistake in my life. I've made many mistakes personally, but my God has never made a mistake with me and said, oh, I should not have done that. He knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. And we are his everywhere in between. Now, I'm going to challenge you to do something. I preached Thanksgiving message to nursing homes this last week. And I didn't want to preach it again because some of you had already heard it. That's why I went home and did this one. But after I did the Thanksgiving messages, I got to thinking, what all do we need to give God thanks for? So I went home, and I took my Bible and opened my concordance, and I sat down at my computer, and I went word by word by word through my concordance. Now, I didn't get all the way through, but everything that indicated that we should thank God or be thankful for or somehow some praise for God, I put that word and I typed it on my computer. And I only got through the G's, but I've got five full pages of just a word and a thought, a word and a thought. So a bunch of words, five pages worth of things that we need to be thankful for. And I'm challenging you to go home tonight, get concordance in your Bible. Now, I didn't get a big, thick concordance because that would have taken the rest of my life, and I don't want to do that. But the concordance in my Bible, and I'm still going to work on it, I only got through A to G, and five full pages of things to be thankful for. That's only one third. So by the time I get through, there will be probably about 13 to 18 or 19 pages of things, one right after another, to be thankful for. You know, I'm a upbeat person. Very seldom do I get discouraged depressed and things. And some people, that's just the way they live, and I could not stand it. It would drive me crazy. And when I think about God, even when things are going wrong, if it's car trouble or heart problems that are coming up, so what? You know, that's what everybody in the world goes through at one time or another. If my time's up, I'll wake up in heaven. I don't worry about anything that's going on this earth. I know that God takes care of me, and I certainly appreciate that. But now, we need to be thankful. Verse 57, but thanks be unto God. Why? First, because he gives us victory. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory. Now, we in Indiana, we're sports fans. I've been a sports fan all of my life, since I was 6, 7, 8 years old. I've had favorite sports teams, and I've watched it and watched TV up until the last 3 years. And right now, the only reason I look at the sports page to see if Indiana won or lost, if the Pacers won or lost, if the Colts won or lost. And when they lose, I say, good, because it makes me like them even less. The sports that we are so stinking crazy about and go wild about, what good does it do? Now, there are things to be learned from sportsmanship and things. I don't want to be totally that way. God has given me the victory in my life over things. I remember when I was a teenager, I didn't have the victory. I didn't like my life. I had gone to Sunday school and church, and there may be kids in here and bus kids, and maybe some of you are going through it right now, but I just couldn't get victory in my life. I knew when I sinned, and I'd pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I don't want to do that, and I'd go back out sometimes the same day and do the same thing that I had just asked God to forgive me about. I had no victory on it. Now, was I saved then? I think I probably was. But did I have the victory? God had not led me to the place of victory yet, because for whatever reason. But when that time came and God gave me the victory, I'm telling you, my life from that day in November 1966 to this day has been totally different, because I am on the winning side. I know I am. I'm like the pastor. If you knew me like I knew me, you probably wouldn't even want to come in here and listen to me tonight. But I preach the Word of God, and I want to live for God, and I try to fill my life with godly things. All day long, he's talking about the radio stations a while ago. In my home now, I'm the only one there besides Jesus and my radio. And we have it going almost all day long, and the godly music, and about 15 different preachers during the day, so on. And I've got so accustomed to it, I can do other things while I'm listening, but my heart is with those things. Thanks be unto God. So this Thanksgiving, let's thank God. That we have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. No one wants to be a loser in life. especially because of ourself. There's only one person that can make me be a loser. And it's right up here in a brown jacket. Nobody can do it. Oh, people can be mean to me. People can steal from me and everything else. But if my heart is right with God, I am a winner. I'm on the winning track. Now, what else has God given to us? Just look back to verses 51 to 56. Number one, we're not going to die. Once we are made alive spiritually, this body may die, but this soul won't die. This soul has eternal life and shall never perish. Thanks be unto God for that and the comfort. I cannot imagine these churches that teach salvation and then, oh, you got to be so careful. Don't do that. No, you do that and you may lose your... That's not God's salvation. God gives to us eternal life, and we shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of our hand, as we heard this morning, in the hollow of God's hand. The devil has no business coming in there. We're not going to die. And then, next thing, we're going to be changed bodily. This old body that is beginning to fail, I'm going in tomorrow for an x-ray on that nodule on my lung. Next Monday, I'm going up to Terre Haute, and they're going to do a catheterization of my heart. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what they're going to find, but I'm on the winning side. I don't worry about things like that, because if the worst happens, I'm going to wake up in heaven. I don't know if any of you know Jim Weir from Hymera. He's in over at Cox Funeral Home. As a matter of fact, they're going to have his funeral in about an hour and 20 minutes, the service. I don't know how many years ago it was that I was able to witness to him. And he gave his life to Christ. Now, he may have already been saved. I'm not positive. But when he got back in church, he let me know that the reason he was back in and going to church was because of the witness that we did. He had a body. He had a leg missing. He's had physical ailments. That body that's laying in the casket over there, I stopped and saw it a few minutes ago. That's going in the grave. Jim's in heaven. He's been changed. And for those of us that are alive, when Christ comes back in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this old body is going to be put off, and we're going to receive a glorified body with no heart ailments, no glasses, no hearing aids, no any other thing like that. I hate it. I sit out here, and people talk to me, and most of the time, I have no idea what you're saying to me. Because out there with the kids and the noise and the echo and everything, if it's anything important, you come up and you say, Joe, this is important. Listen to me. Okay? But that's going to be gone. We're going to be changed. And we're going to be raised incorruptible and changed. That means the absence of sin. I'm still a sinner. I still confess sin to God. But I have got to the point in my life that when I'm around sinful things, it breaks my heart. Sinful people doing sinful things, saying sinful things, it breaks my heart. We're not going to have to worry about that anymore, because there will be no cursing. There will be no drinking. There will be no swearing. There will be no lying in heaven. We're going to be changed. Absence of sin. We then experience immortality. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? We live in a lifespan right now of 70 to 80 years old, 70 and 10. Yes, 70 years old. I'm on borrowed time right now. Some of you are. I was just thinking about Methuselah. 969 years. They surely did not have the same activities going on back then that we have now. If I had, who wants to live to be even 100 years old anymore? None of us want to do that. We're going to put on immortality, life forever. You know, humanly speaking, that almost sounds boring, doesn't it? You know, what are we going to do forever to keep ourselves occupied? I don't know, but I know this. I'm going to find out firsthand. Amen. Because I'm going to be there. Amen. And I think it'll be much more than what we can humanly understand. I look forward to seeing my grandparents and a lot of the old-time preachers. And as I've studied Baptist history, some of the old-timers, Shubal Stearns, John Clark, Obadiah Holmes, some of these guys back there that died for the cause of Christ, sometimes I almost feel jealous of them. You know, our life is so easy and so laid out for us, but it's going to change. A preacher preached on that, I think, Wednesday night, wasn't it? The change is coming. And Christians, and I'm not going to tell you how because it might go out over the air and I don't want to give them an idea. But I've got an idea how they're going to come after the church and close us down. They're going to take all of this political correctness stuff and they're going to beat us over the head with it. What are you going to do when they tell you to shut up? We need to stand up and shout even louder. Thus saith the Lord. But in heaven, immortality. No more death. Eternal life. And that was what really changed my life. When I realized I was safe in the hands of God. It wasn't me trying to hold on to God. That's the natural way of thinking. Oh, God's up here and we got to do something to get hold of him. No, he got hold of me. And when he got hold of me, I became a new creation. So he gives us victory and he gives us all those things I just said. Number two, because he gives us the victory. Because he gives us the victory, therefore. Look back here, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is in vain. As this Thanksgiving Day comes up, thank God we're on the right side. Thank God we're alive and able to still serve him and have the freedom to do it. But if our hands were tied and we were being burned at the stake, I still want to say hallelujah and glory to God and be thankful for everything he's done for me. Therefore, be ye steadfast. Steadfast means standing firm and unwavering. How many of us are unwavering? Do you always, every time an opportunity comes up, pass out a track? Say, do you know Christ is your Savior? Do you know you can be saved right now and receive eternal life? How often do we do that? I wish I could say I did it all the time. But more times do I walk away from something and the Holy Spirit pricks my heart and said, you should have, you should have. That's our responsibility. How are they going to hear without a preacher? And that's us. That doesn't mean we're going to stand in the pulpit and preach. We're going to take the Word of God and put it. That's why I like these tracts. I didn't take any of these Christmas things. I'm not against them. But I like these because point A, B, C, D tells you how to be saved and know you have eternal life. I like simplicity. I am not a complicated person. You can tell from my preaching, I am not a real in-depth preacher. But I want to get the word out. I want to get the gospel out to people so that they can hear and know. Be ye steadfast, unwavering, unmovable. Be ye unmovable. That means not able to be moved. In other words, you've got your foundation here where you're at spiritually, and nobody can move you. Not your spouse, not your children, not your parents. You are grounded in the Word of God. I think I give this illustration recently here about when I was a kid. And I was helping my dad clean a fence row. And we backed the tractor up. And I'd put it in fourth gear for most of the stuff. Jerk it right out. We had this one tree about that big around. I put it in fourth gear, gave it the gas, and that tractor stood up about like that. That tree did not move, did not budge. It was unmovable. It was a sassafras tree. And they tell me that sassafras roots grow twice as deep as what the tree grows up out of the ground. And my dad had to dig down, cut it, and we finally got it out. But it was unmovable. Are we unmovable like that? What's it take to get us to give up, to give in? I know they're going to have church again Wednesday night, but do I have to be there? It's not necessary. Are you unmovable? Therefore, be ye steadfast, unmovable. The next thing, always abounding. Always abounding. Not under restraint, but to exist or provide great effort of or supply. That's what it means to abound. And we need to abound. We need to be head and shoulders above everybody else. You say, well, I was kind of cocky. Our church being... No, we're Bible believers. We preach the Bible. We live the Bible. And let's face it, the average church around here doesn't. Watered down Christianity? Yeah, you dress like you want to. You go to places like you want to? No. I don't go to places, and I thank God I don't want to go to those places. I don't want to drink that liquor anymore. I don't want to use the language I used to use. I don't want to dress like I used to dress. I want to be different. When people see me, I want them to say, there's something different about that guy. They can say I'm an oddball or anything about me, but if I'm standing with God, I'm on the right side. All of this is to be the work of the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Why do we do all these things I've just talked about? Because our labor is not in vain. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Labor, you know, we don't just get saved and say, okay, I've got eternal salvation. Let me go over here and find my seat and sit down, just wait for the Lord to come, and I'll be ready to go when he comes. Show me a chapter and verse about that. I could show you tons of verses in here, just the opposite of that. God saved us for a purpose. Labor. Labor means to work, to give great effort toiling or grinding away, working hard. Like the pastor said this morning, that hammer that fit in his hand, that was a hammer that he accomplished much with. We need to be accomplishing work for God, visiting people, bringing them to church, loving each other, and making this a place where people just enjoy coming and being a part of what we are. Takes labor to do that. It's not automatic. Therefore, labor for the Lord, no matter how difficult and wearisome. And this is something that's hard as I'm getting older. You can tell right now I'm out of breath. I hope they change that next Monday, week from tomorrow, and find out what all's in my heart and go in and clean it out or put stents in or do whatever they need to do. I can hardly walk from one room to the other without huffing and puffing. It's wearisome. I have to be careful going outside, especially in weather like this. I get, it's not pneumonia, but it's awful close to it, hacking cough. Sometimes I feel like I use that as an excuse not to do what I probably ought to be doing. I don't want to do that. So that means I've got to double up in other places when I'm where I can, where I can breathe, where I can stand up, where I can talk, where I can pass out tracts. I've got to take advantage. That's what the labor for the Lord is. It will always have great meaning to the Lord, no matter how large or small the task that is set before us. The parable of the talents. Did the preacher preach on that this morning, or did I read that somewhere else? I think I must have read that somewhere else. The talents, some 10, some 5, some 2. We don't all have the same ability. You can't do what I do. I can't do what you do. But I better do what I can do for the glory of God. And if we do, the last thing, it's not in vain. Not in vain. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. All these cards that I passed out, hundreds of them in the last 3 years, and I mean literally hundreds of them, to people in Terre Haute, other states, other places that I'll never see again, but who knows how many. If just one said, "Oh, what's that all about?" Right. And they get saved. Right. You know, the Lord is keeping record. Remember 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago now, Faith Promise Missions, and it was pointed out to us that the Lord keeps record of our faith promise. And as it goes to other places and they win people to the Lord, every one of us that give to faith promise, the Lord marks it down. I don't know how much it's going to count. I don't know how little it's going to count. But the Lord is keeping track of it. And that's why we don't look for results. God doesn't bless us for results. God blesses us for the effort to try and get to the results. Only God can give the results. Our labor is not in vain, not empty acts that result in nothing, fruitless, pointless, and having no purpose. That's what it means to be in vain. Our work is not that. Our work is very pointed, very distinctive. What we want done, we want to win people to the Lord. We want to train them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, just like we do our children. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Thanksgiving coming up, remember verse 57. But thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing me to have the opportunity to preach tonight. And I pray that this has been a blessing. And God, you know I preached it from my heart. And I pray that you would add your blessings to it in the heart of each one that heard it. And tonight, Lord, accomplish that which is pleasing to you. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I believe that probably most everyone, if not everyone here tonight, could say, Brother Joe, if I died right now, I know I would go to heaven. No doubt in my mind. But is there one or two here? Please, no one looking around, no embarrassment. I'd just like to pray for you for a minute. We'll not point you out. But you're not absolutely sure that you have eternal life. I mean, if you were to die right now, you're not 100% sure you'd go to heaven. Could I see your hands? Please. Very quickly. See one young man up here. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we got a church where the gospel's been preached and people have responded to it. Now, Lord, we all claim to be saved. Help us to live like it, to bring honor and glory to your name. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.